But as you combined in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how much infancy you have known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith of Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in the view of the appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of preachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of the evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This month we looked at the second letter of Paul to Timothy. At least it's the second letter to Timothy in our Bible. Probably Paul wrote a few more, but those are the ones that have been preserved. This is probably also something like Paul's testament, a final letter to his good friend and co-worker before Paul's death. Paul knew that the time for his departure had come, and so Paul wanted to remind Timothy of some of the most important matters so that he and the church would do well and would remain faithful. And through that, in a sense, Paul is also giving advice to us now as those who are also part of the church. So in the letter, as we come to chapter 3, Paul warned Timothy that the world around him may get somewhat off course, that even in the church there may be some people that talk about God but do not really follow the truth. Therefore, he asked Timothy to be faithful, to continue in what he had learned and had become convinced of. And how did Timothy learn all about that? Well, it was through the teaching and example of Paul, through Timothy's own walk with God, and through the Holy Scriptures, as they had been taught to him from his childhood. As you can remember, at the beginning of the letter, Paul reminded Timothy of the instruction that he had received from his mother and grandmother in the Scriptures, and then how he had come to Jesus Christ, together with his family as well. And so at that point, Paul focused on the Holy Scriptures. Now, in his day, that would have been mainly what we now call the Old Testament, but probably also included in some shape or form the New Testament. Because, after all, Paul called this message of Jesus the Word of God, which was taught by the Spirit. And so I think we can confidently use Paul's description as applying to the whole Bible as we now know it, consisting of both the Old and the New Testaments. Paul says that the Holy Scriptures are God-breathed. They're not just some people's musings about God and the world. And they not only tell about God's salvation, but are useful in any sphere of life to guide us in godly and righteous ways. So the Scriptures affect us in all aspects of our life. They shape our actions and our thinking. They give us hope and endurance. Now, of course, sometimes we would rather want more inspirational statements than some of the strange stories and painful history we read in the Bible. Over the years, many people have offered alternatives, but those alternatives generally have been found wanting and are always a reflection of their own times and philosophies. It's not by accident that Jews and Christians have become people of the book, have handed down these pages, these words through the millennia, treasured them, read them, debated them. And so the scriptures have shaped their lives and have called them back to truth, to the truth, time and time again. Even when the words of scripture are difficult, they are words of life. Now, of course, today we often couch the words of scripture differently somewhat, but if they are words of truth, they have to refer back to the words of scriptures, in which the relationship between God and the world is told, and in which we see the failings of humanity, the grace of God, and the troubled history of God's people. Today we read a small excerpt from Psalm 119, which is the longest psalm in the Bible, and so we've just read that one excerpt. But from that excerpt, it's clear how the scripture has changed people. This psalm portrays a joy in reading and meditating on the scriptures. It tells how the laws, and with it the Bible more generally, affect all aspects of a person's life. They are a guide in every part of life, a way to see the world and to stay in relationship with God. They are like a lamp when we are in darkness, like a light when we do not see the way ahead. One of the things that is noteworthy about Psalm 119 is that it focuses on personal study of the scriptures and personal application. Yes, of course, it's clear there that the word of God also needs to be read, heard, and explained in community. So, for example, here in church and in Bible study groups. But the personal reading of the scriptures is also essential. This sense of a personal study of the scriptures has been picked up quite strongly by the Protestant tradition as well. So it's come clearly from within the scriptures and the Jewish tradition and has then been emphasized among the Protestant tradition as well. Because of that, there has been some criticism of the elevation of scripture in the church, because some say it has led to division. If, in contrast, like the Catholics, we had a pope and some authoritative teachers, they who could determine with authority what the Bible said, then there might not be so many splits in the church, some people say. Among Protestants, so the argument goes, everyone is like his or her own pope, determining what scripture says and often, to be honest, moving beyond the Bible as well. However, if we know anything about Catholics, we know that there are just as many opinions, not only on what the Bible says, but what the Christian response should be to certain issues. So having an authority there does not do away with that problem. Yes, the Catholic Church has largely managed to keep together, but there are many cracks, and sometimes we wonder at what cost. After all, church authorities have been wrong many times before. On the other hand, as someone who has studied at Catholic institutions, I also have to say that the Protestants' emphasis on Scripture has also been picked up by Catholics in recent years, and they have returned to Scripture in ways that are joyful, responsible, and personal. To really joyfully use Scriptures in our own lives, it's not good enough that someone high up in the church tells us what they say. We need to read and apply them ourselves. Well, with that, we come back to the second letter of Paul to Timothy. After telling Timothy how important the scriptures are in keeping faithful, Paul then encourages Timothy to preach the word, to correct, rebuke, and encourage. That means that he's not only to tell the people about God's mission in the world and God's forgiveness through Jesus Christ, but also to apply the scriptures to particular situations so that people are encouraged but also rebuked. We don't like the sound of that word, do we? Rebuked. But it does mean that we Christians say that some things are just not right. After all, we see a lot of trends in our world that are harmful both to ourselves and to those around us, and that go against God's will. Paul sees it that preaching the word and reading the Bible is a way to guard against such harm. And he says there are constantly people out there who seek to manipulate others by saying things that may seem great, but that are damaging and harmful if we really trust them and follow them. Those are the things that our itching ears may want to hear, but they are not truthful. Well, of course, when we look around us now, it really seems that what Paul was describing has come true in our own time. A great number of people who say things that make people feel good, but that are not true and good. Now, of course, it's not always only things that sound nice that get people attention. As we know, one of the ways to get people involved is by getting them scandalized and offended. We know only too well that clickbait and sound bites do get attention. Well, and in contrast to that, careful, measured assessment seems boring in comparison, particularly looking at things through the eyes of Scripture. And yet, I think even in our fast world of fast opinions, there is hope. So I've recently noticed that, after all, now long podcasts are making a comeback, for example. People do still read books, still study the Bible, and at times at least yearn for peace that can only come from slowing down, listening to those ancient words of our faith. And so reading the Bible is clearly part of that. It is coming again to God and seeing what God's intention for the world is. But also is coming to church, where the liturgy is based on the Bible and the worship has been handed down through the ages, where the hymns and songs that we sing reflect a living faith. Now, of course, preaching the word doesn't only happen in church. It also happens in our conversations at home and among friends, in our reading recommendations and our quick responses, in our public submissions, in our actions and the explanations we give for our actions, in our emails and social media posts. Proclaiming the word is not just limited to official church ministers either. It's the mission of all those who follow Christ in whatever role they are in. Now, Paul did recognize that the church setting was special. After all, Timothy was commissioned for this ministry in the church by the laying on of hands. Here, that's where worship and prayer and communal reading of the Bible combined with biblical explanation. But from there, it always has to reach beyond into all aspects of our life. And that's where personal study of the Bible becomes so important. Together with Timothy, we are encouraged to let our lives be shaped by the gospel of Jesus Christ and to be guided by the words of the Bible, through whom the word of God is revealed and the love of God through Jesus Christ is shown. Amen.